The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m., and if you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Glory and majesty. What a two marvelous words. Let's go to the book of Exodus, chapter 33, verses 18 through 23. Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." Now, that's the kind of guy you like to be around. Moses tells God, "Just show me your glory." I like that. I like the boldness of Moses when he says that. And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But," he said, "you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Wow. Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face you must not see." Wow. I wonder why. Why couldn't he see him? Well, I'm going to tell you why. Because there's a glory and majesty about God that human flesh cannot stand to be in front of. It's not that God's hiding himself. He just knows that we would be disintegrated and disappear. I'm reading a book right now. Some of you have heard of it. It's by Bill O'Reilly, called The Killing of the Rising Sun. In the book, they talk about the development of the atomic bomb and what an unknown quantity that was. They weren't real sure what was going to happen when they unleashed this thing of splitting the atom. There was, and really documented, fear that it might obliterate the entire Earth. It just might all explode. They knew they were setting off a chain reaction, but they didn't know when and how the chain reaction would stop. So there was some doubt about it. But one of the things that they knew is that the light that would radiate from that explosion would be so intense that, if I remember right, they said it'd be about 10 times brighter than the sun. And we all know we can't look at the sun. I mean, if you do, you go blind. I mean, that'll happen. So, they didn't have some of the things that are available today, but they found the best devices they could to protect themselves. They got welders' lenses out of the welders' helmets that you've seen, and they put them in a way that they could wear them similar to glasses, and that was the safest mechanism that they had to protect the eyes of those who saw this immense releasing of atomic power. So if you magnify that by a factor of infinity, you might get some idea that you might not want to look at God with unfiltered eyes. You know, you might not be able to see him and survive. Okay? So God says, "Listen, Moses, just cool your jets. Here's what we can do. You'll be standing on a rock, and I'm going to slip on by behind you, and I'll put my hand over you to shield you so that all of my glory won't hurt you. I'm going to put you in a little crack in the rock, cover you up, and I'm going to pass by." So you can kind of see the back of me as I whisk away back into eternity, but you don't want to see me face to face because you just can't stand it. Which begs the question is, How are we going to go to heaven and see God in all that light and not get destroyed? Aha! God in His wisdom came up with an idea. I'll give you a new body, not made with human hands, but made from the very glory and mind of God, a resurrected body. And in that body, you can stand face to face with God and not be destroyed. Woo! God's always got a plan. He's always got something good going. So don't be so disappointed that Moses couldn't see God face to face, but he got to see more than most. And I won't go into all the story today, but you know the story that when he came down from the mountain, when he had been in the visitation with God, he wore a veil over his face. The radiance of God was upon him in such a way. One, and this is another sermon for another time, but one of the interesting things is the New Testament says that he wore that veil so that people wouldn't see the glory was fading. It was a fading glory. See, the glory of the law that was given on Mount Sinai was a fading glory. But the glory in Christ is an ever-increasing glory. It gets brighter every day, stronger every day. So the glory of God is visible in many ways in creation. We see it throughout the scriptures. And we see it in the heavens. Jim showed the men Saturday at the Band of Brothers meeting a video that showed some of the majesty of the and glory of the universe. It would be beyond our imagination to realize what it's really like. You know, the pictures we see now are pictures that are done mostly by the Hubble telescope. What makes the Hubble telescope so amazing is that it's outside most of the atmosphere of the Earth. So it's not distorted. Actually, we're looking through a fishbowl. You know, all this stuff around us. So that's why the stars twinkle. They don't twinkle, but they twinkle because it's the atmosphere that makes them do that. So the new telescope that's going up, and I think I mentioned this to you before, it's going to be somewhere, my memory doesn't serve me right, I didn't plan on telling you about this, but it's going to be something like a million mile orbit circling around the Earth. And so it's going to be even further out. The Hubble's only like a couple hundred miles above the Earth. So it's going to be way out there without any distortion and be able to see things that we have never imagined before, clearer than ever before. It's the mirror that's in the inside of the new telescope is going to be much further advanced than the one we have. In fact, it's so big that it couldn't make one mirror, that it's a mosaic of mirrors put together using computers that it'll pick up things. So that's going to be available in the not-too-distant future. It's going to be launched. So when you think of the glory of God, it's beyond anything we can imagine ourselves. Paul said that he went to the heavens. He said, I saw things that I can't even talk about. I mean, they were just so much. Remember on the Mount of Transfiguration, when the apostles saw the radiance of Jesus, not in His full glory, but in a radiance of His glory, they were struck down. Of course, Peter said, I got an idea, let's build some temples here. You know, one for you, one for Isaiah, you know, just so that we can remember this place. And Jesus went back to His normal human body and said, we're not doing that now. We got other things to do, other fish to fry. So what is this glory and majesty? What is it really? Glory is the reflection of the presence of God. It's a reflection of Him. It's not Him, but it is a reflection of who He is. You got that? It's like looking in a mirror. When you look in a mirror, you're not seeing the reality. You're seeing a reflection of it. Okay? When I look at you here this morning, I'm not seeing you. I'm seeing a reflection of who you are. There's more to you than meets the eye. All right? And what's more to you is that you're a born-again believer, and there's a lot more to you than can be seen. God has a glory. Man has a glory. The earth has a glory. But it's a reflection of the Creator Himself. Okay? Now, the word glory is also, we derive the word splendor from. Not splendor that you put in your drink, but splendor in that something magnificent. And the word splendor is a derivative of the word light. So when you think about the glory of God, you think about the splendor of God. And when you speak about the splendor of God, you speak about light. God is light. He is the source of all light. Remember the day of creation? The first thing God said, He said, "Let there be light." And the light that we see now is a reflection of the glory of God, because it all radiates from Him, okay? He dwells in eternal light. The Scriptures say there's no darkness in Him. We've never been in a place where there's no darkness. But to be in His presence would be a place where there's absolutely no darkness. Talks about in the New Jerusalem, He said there'll be no need for the sun or the moon, because the Lamb will light up the New Jerusalem. It says this, "I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need a sun or a moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp." There's a whole sermon in there that I'm not going to go through, but gives you a feeling for what this thing of glory is. Now, majesty is another word. Those of you who've been watching some of the PBS programs that have been on of late, there's one called The Crown, and it's a biography of Queen Elizabeth. And one of the things that you pick up as you're watching it is they always refer to her as Your Majesty. In fact, Churchill, when he went to see the Queen, he never sat down, and he never turned his back to her. And those of you who saw that when he came in, he always bowed down, and she'd put out her hand, and he'd kiss her hand, and he'd take back a step. And he referred to her as Your Majesty. Your Majesty. Well, what is that majesty? Well, majesty is a word that we use to describe authority. The Queen is in control. Your Majesty. Now, the way that the Queen maintains control is through power. You know, one of the first things that historically happened when nations are overtaken? What's one of the first things they do? Get rid of the leadership. Kill the king and queen. Kill the president. Get rid of them. Because why? Because their majesty has no more relevance, because they have no power. They only have majesty as they have power. So what does that mean to us? God's majesty is eternal, for there's no one greater than Him that can take His power and His authority away from Him. And that gives us great confidence that no marauding evil horde from other places in a parallel universe that only starships go to is ever going to go to God's house and capture Him and lob off His head. It's not going to happen. So that gives you and I great confidence to trust in the glory of God that we can't even see with our eyes, and the majesty of God, which gives Him authority over the things of life that we exist in. You got that? So, glory and majesty. Glory is the things that He reflects. Majesty is the power that He has, and that it's eternal. So let's look and how God shares His glory. I got to back up a little bit, because this is what I want you to see. I got the slides a little messed up. How God shares His glory and majesty. Well, let me back up to the scripture here. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. "We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of the Lord Jesus, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty." What are they? The power He had. They said, "We've never seen anybody do anything like this." Well, even the waves and the wind obey Him. You know, sickness leaves, the blind see, the lame walk, the dead are raised back to life. This is the majesty of God incarnate in Christ Jesus Himself. And He said, we didn't make this up, folks. We didn't sit in the back room and say, oh, let's say that He did this, and let's say that He did that. Said, we didn't follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and the coming of Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. They saw Him. In fact, one of the things that our spiritual founding fathers did, in order to be designated as an apostle of the first magnitude, the first 12, and the writers of the New Testament, they had to have seen as eyewitnesses the majesty of God. That was one of the things that had to be. So that everyone who wrote in the New Testament wrote as an eyewitness of what they saw. That's why it was important for Paul to say, I saw the Lord. You know, I was born out of due season, but I saw Him as He visited me. So He had that visitation from God. Now, there are several occasions when men have encountered God. Let me just briefly go through a few of them. Abraham, you know, remember he had a visitation from God. He saw the majesty of God. Moses experienced God with the deliverance of the law. Isaiah, as I just mentioned to you, saw the Lord high and lifted up. Jesus experienced the manifestation of God when He was baptized by John the Baptizer, and the voice from heaven came booming out. This is My Son. Hear Him. I'm well pleased with Him. And the apostles experienced seeing the majesty of God in Christ Jesus. These are two bookends that are in our theology. One of them is glory. It's His eternal presence and being, the I Am. His majesty is His eternal authority and ability, I Can. So you could say about God, I Am and I Can. Or you could say, I'm the only I Am and I'm the only one who can. So that He is without measure. Now, theologians have come up with a lot of words for Him. I call them the omnis. The omnipresent, omniscient, omnis, omnidat, omnidat. I mean, I don't get all that. But I think in the simpler terms, for me, being a simple theologian, I can understand glory and majesty to some measure because the Scriptures help us to understand that. God is and He can. Well, I won't go there. I was going to say something, but I could get chasing a rabbit for a little bit about the I Can. One of the things that God can do that you can't do is He can limit things. For instance, as far as He's concerned, when He sees you, He never sees sin. So, well, how could that be? Because sin existed and I did it and so did everybody else. He's got to be able to see it. He said, no, I can't see it. In fact, I can't even remember. So He has the ability to limit Himself, if you will, which is an interesting concept, but we won't go there this morning. So let's talk a little bit more about how God shares His glory and majesty. For us, it's by being at the right place. Okay? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. For He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to Him from the majestic glory. Don't you love that? The majestic glory saying, this is My Son whom I love. With Him I am well pleased. We ourselves heard His voice that came from heaven when we were with Him on the sacred mountain. That's the Mount of Transfiguration. He said, we heard it. We were there when that took place. So Jesus received honor and glory from God the Father from the majestic glory, as He said, this is My Son, whom I love. So God shared His glory with Jesus, the incarnate Christ. But these other guys got to see it. How did they get to see it? They were in the right place at the right time. Well, how do you get to the right place at the right time? Well, in their case, they just went where Jesus told them to go. He said, let's go, boys. We're going over here. Took them up to the mountain. Now, do you flatlander swamp people, mountains are things that are higher than the state capital in Baton Rouge. That's the highest thing in the state that I know of, okay? You know, it's higher than that. Those of you who have visited the mountains and tried to climb one of those things, you found out pretty quick, flatlanders don't do well on mountain goat territory, do we? No, it's hard. I mean, in fact, the higher you get, the worse it gets. Because why? There's less oxygen up there. You can't breathe. And you find yourself going, huffing and puffing. And if you go high enough, you can actually feel your heart beating and hear the sound of your blood pulsing through your veins. I've had that experience. So you may have had that experience. That's getting high enough. That means it's time to turn around and go back down. You're getting a place that is dangerous, all right? So they went to a place that took a little bit of effort to get here. Now, I have to be careful because where I'm going is dangerous ground. We know that God does everything, right? And we don't do anything to earn our relationship with God, right? We're not being forgiven by climbing any mountains. We're not going to, you know, be better off because we climbed a mountain. But sometimes if you want to see God, you might have to do a little work, you know? And work in the kingdom is climbing the mountain. Well, how do you do that? Well, you can do things like we just did. You can pass and pray. You can seek Him. You know, you got to want to be there. For all of those who are not here, this is not to you. This is to everyone who is not here. If you want to have a shot at seeing God, a good place to go is church. Come on. It's a good place to be. I mean, the probability of something good happening in church is a lot better than in your house. Now, it's not that it can't happen in your house, because I've seen the glory of God, but I'm saying just working on probabilities. Probabilities being that God said, where two or more of you gather together in my name, I am there in their midst. And you might get to see something wonderful happen in the church doors. That's why we gather together. And most of the times when I've experienced God, it's been in church. Not the only time, but most of the time. When worship is going on, when you experience God. Hey, in fact, you remember several years ago, we had that crazy manifestation with that little cloud that came up over you, and you said in full disclosure, well, it's the rising. Is that what it was? Yeah, that was you were using on your hands to keep your drumsticks from flying across the room. You know? But we went back and looked at that video very, very carefully, and you couldn't put out that much rising from the bag the way you were doing it, the way it happened that day, because it hadn't happened like that since. So that was a miraculous manifestation of God right here in the church building. So I would encourage you, not you because you're here, but the other folks who are not here to be here, all right? And I know there are times when you can't come. But let me talk about me. It's all about me anyway, isn't it? Let me talk about me. I've gone to church when I've been tired. I've gone to church when I didn't feel good. I've gone to church when I've been sicker than a dog. You know, I've gone to church when I didn't want to be there. Which is today? You know, not today. You know. But there have been times. But you know what? Every time I get in church and I hear the songs of Zion, and every time I get in church and hear a good sermon, and every time I preach, it's a good sermon. I agree with most of what I say. Something wonderful happens. I mean to tell you, and I've had this happen to me so many times. I'll be preaching about the glory of God, and the Holy Spirit will speak to somebody and tell them about, well, you know, you need to be baptized. And they'll come to me and said, Pastor, when I heard that sermon this morning, I just knew I had to be baptized. And I thought, I never used the word baptism once in that sermon. But it's where the Holy Spirit speaks. He speaks to us. It's the gathering. It's the right fertile ground. You know, in the Old Testament, it talks about God planting a vineyard. And He plants it with the choicest vines. And He sets a watchtower over it. And He builds a fence around it. So that in that place, there can be fruitful things that happen. So we're like that vineyard. We're choice vine. You know, we're planted, we're fertilized, we're watered by the Holy Spirit. And so there ought to be good things happening. And you might say, well, you know, nothing good ever happens to me in church. Well, maybe we need to work a little about that on some, you know. Maybe we need to be prepared when we come to church. You mean I'm supposed to do more than just get dressed? Yeah, you might want to pray before you get here. You might want to ask God, let that preacher preach a good sermon for once. You know, let that music be good for once. You know, let something happen, Lord. If something doesn't happen, I don't know what I'm going to do. God, you got to get something going in the church. I am tired of being in a dead church. And if that's the way you feel, keep that prayer going, all right? You know, and maybe something will happen. Maybe we'll see the glory of God. Maybe we'll experience. We all right now. I'm just picking on you a little bit. But I'm serious, you know. You ought to go to church prepared. You know? Have you prayed for a role in the team? That they do a good job and not hit any bad notes and that the sound system would work right for change. You know? Have you prayed for the guys in the back who are working all that electronic gadgetry back there? You know, these guys didn't start off knowing all that stuff. You know, they've been through the process learning new things so that we can broadcast out over the internet. In fact, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but Jim, who keeps track of all this stuff for me, last year we had over 18,000 people who either listened to or downloaded the audio sermons of this church. Now, I don't know how long they listen, but we know for a fact that they listen some. They got, you know, it's amazing. I mean, there's not but 30 of us here. If I can, maybe not even that. I mean, that's pretty good. And we had something like, I got it written down, and I'll tell you about it a little later, 1,800, 1,600 people who actually watched the video. They may not be watching live. Some do. Well, you're out there. How y'all doing? So glad you joined us. But some join us later. In fact, if you want to have some fun, go to our website and click on the video audio tab and look down for the videos and just scroll through them, because next to every one, you'll see how many times people looked at that video. It's amazing. I'm amazed. I've got to admit, for some quirk of nature that I don't understand, people like James Barron and Rick Manis and get a lot more views than I do. I don't understand. I'm working on it, folks. I'm trying to get better. Yeah. Well, you experience God by being in the right place. So, Jesus said that the time would come we'd worship in spirit and truth. Spirit and truth. So it's not the physical, it's the supernatural Spirit of God within us. And truth is the right way. You experience the glory of God and the majesty of God in those times when you won't be denied. You're like the woman with the issue of blood. She wouldn't be denied. You're like the blind guy sitting on the side of the road. Jesus! Shh, shh, shh. They tried to quiet him down. Jesus! And he said, what do you boys want? He said, we want to see. He said, oh, good, we can handle that. And they did, and they were able to see. You know, won't be denied. Go read the scriptures. How many times people got touched by God, they just wouldn't take no for an answer. Remember the woman who showed up and said, I need you to heal my, I think it was a daughter or a servant, I don't remember what it was. And Jesus said, I'm not here to take care of dogs. You know, I'm here for the people of Israel, not for you Gentiles. And she wouldn't be denied. She said, yeah, but even the dogs, you have to eat the crumbs that fall off the table. And Jesus said, well, I guess that's good enough for me. And he answered her prayer. She wouldn't be denied. Sometimes you just got to be persistent. Thank you. That's a good word. Persistent. There are times that God will, he makes the determination that he's going to show himself to you and just catch you completely off guard when you're not expecting it. Bam, just what you need. He'll show up and do things. I'm like Isaiah. I saw the Lord. Now, I didn't see him in the temple with his robe filled, the train filled the temple, but it was what I needed when the day the Lord called me into ministry. I had a vision of him. And you know where it was? It wasn't on the mountaintop. It wasn't out on the seas. It wasn't a private prayer monastery. It was in church. Imagine that. I was in church on Sunday night. Imagine that. And God showed up and spoke and said, and I can see it as clear as I can see you, even clearer. I can see the figure of Christ in the choir loft point his finger at me and said, I want you. I've never been able to get away from that. It took all the strength out of my knees. It caused my eyes to flood with tears of joy. It caused my breathing to be rapid. It caused such a transformation in me. Well, I'm usually trying to not be too obnoxious. I'm wailing in the church. And they didn't have no wailing in that church. You want wailing, you get in a whaler and go out in the ocean. You know, they didn't want any of that stuff. And everybody's looking around with me with great disdain, like, what's the matter with him? In fact, when I finally composed myself and I was in between the pew, just real, Pat helped me get up on the, she don't even know what's going on. And people came by and they were so kind to me. They really were. And they said, who died? Oh. Who died? They want to know who died. Nobody died. It just said, I saw the Lord. Now, I didn't ask for that. I wasn't even looking for that. I was just fat, dumb, and happy. I'd been saved a couple of months, and I was just enjoying what had happened to me when I found Christ. And Jesus had another plan. So sometimes he just does it on his own. And the last thing I was going to say, but I've already said, is being in the church. Now, you hear me say a lot of things about negative about religion and about churches that are no more than country clubs. But in the real church, where the people of God are gathered, no telling what might happen. You just don't know. But that's a good place to be. The question I want to ask you, are you satisfied with your relationship with him, the way you're seeing God? Or do you want to see more? If you want to see more, get out your climbing shoes and maybe climb a little mountain. You never know what you may find. Listen to this, Luke chapter 9, verse 28 and 29, 28 through 31. We went up onto a mountain to pray. So what do you go on the mountain to do? To pray. Not necessarily be looking around. They went on the mountain to pray. As he was praying, he being Jesus is praying, the appearance of his face changed. Am I seeing what I think I'm seeing? The appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright is a flash of lightning. Wouldn't you like to see that? A flash. You know, a flash of lightning is pretty bright. A weatherman back there could tell us how bright if I asked him, but I'm not going to ask him. A flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah. Whoa, I thought those guys died. But there they were. He's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. That's why when you die, you go to be with the Lord. You'll get your resurrected body later. But they knew who it was. Moses and Elijah appeared in glorious splendor talking to Jesus. How great is that? You talk about make you feel like a church mouse. Moses, Elijah, and Jesus in glorious splendor. Man, no wonder they got knocked off their feet. But that's available. Leave your religion behind. Leave your preconceived ideas behind of what God can do. Leave your adult thinking behind and do what Jesus said. Become like one of these children. You know what children do? They believe. You know? You get a little kid, they'll believe anything just about. You know? You can fly. They'll try flying. You know? And some of you had kids who did that. Stood up on something, tried to fly off of it, and busted their nose. No, I got a score on top of my head. I thought I could fly. Didn't make it. You couldn't see it when I was younger because my hair covered up. But the older I get, I'm looking at it and said, gee, I didn't think I'd ever see that thing again. Well, kids believe. They trust. And that's the way we need to believe. Okay, moving right along. You share God's glory by following in His footsteps. We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. We read that just a moment ago. Peter knew all too well the trail of leaving behind the old ways to follow Jesus. You got to leave behind the old ways. Peter wasn't perfect, but he was persistent. He didn't give up. I like it when Jesus said to him one time, he said, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you can't see the kingdom of God. And everybody left, and he turned to the guys and he said, you're going to leave too? And I believe it was Peter who piped up and said, where are we going to go? What are we going to do? You know, we've left everything to follow you. Is that where you are? Can you say that about yourself? I've left everything to follow Him? Or you're still hanging on to the straw of life? Still trying to find happiness in some other place? I'm talking to believers, not unbelievers. You know? Where are you in your relationship with God? He was so bad that I wouldn't have let him back in the club. I don't know that guy. No, I've never been with him. I'm telling you, I don't know him. And then he used some expletives that I'm not going to use. He swore, I swear by God Himself, that I don't know this man. And the cock crowed at that hour. Boy, you talk about a broken guy who denied God. A broken man. But when Jesus came out of the grave, what's the first thing He said? Go tell Peter. Wait a minute. You know what Peter did? Go tell Peter to meet me. Like I said, I was going to meet him. See, God is very forgiving. And He knows the weakness of the flesh. And He knows how we get wrapped up in things and do things that we shouldn't do. I'm not going to get into it in any great detail today because you've heard some of it. But I'm telling you what, I identify with Peter because I'm one of the guys who denied God. Not only denied Him, I told everybody I knew there was no God. That Jesus was no more than a man, a trickster, who started a religious thing just to get people to follow Him for the power and what he could gain out of it. And that he was dead in his grave. That's what I did. Not proud of it, but that's where I was. But I did. Pat can tell you the day, he remembers the day that I came home and told her that. But you know all this stuff about heaven and hell and God and the Bible? It's just a bunch of baloney made up by people trying to force people to go in their direction. That's what I did. I'm like Peter. I don't know him. He doesn't even exist. Of course, God in His mercy, that took him about a year to really get my attention. And when he got my attention was well held. And I believed it all. And I still do believe it all. So, you know, God cares about us, and He wants us to abandon all the things that would keep us from being near to Him. Does that mean you can't have fun? No. Does that mean you can't go fishing? No. Does that mean you can't go hunting? No. Does that mean you can't ride motorcycles? No. Does that mean you can't go to the movie? No. Does that mean that you've got to get rid of your TV? No. It doesn't mean any of those things, but it does mean that Christ must be the priority of your life. If you want to see God, you're going to have to get Him in the priority list. Peter walked on the water. Somebody said recently to me, he said, you know, I don't know why they preach so many sermons about the guys who didn't get out of the boat. What they ought to be doing is preaching more sermons about the guy who did get out of the boat. I'm telling you, how many of you would climb out of the boat and walk on water just because you thought you had a vision of the Lord walking and He said, come to me. Peter, why don't you give it a try? Let's see how you do. Peter says, all right, here I go. You know, just give the guy credit. They went out fishing, couldn't catch any fish. Jesus was on the shore. Hey, boys, you caught any fish? Nah, we fished all night. We got nothing. Then we'll put your net over on the other side. Maybe you've been fishing the wrong way, as we used to say in the fishing business. Maybe you're holding your mouth the wrong way. You know, see, fishermen know what I'm talking about. Then they cast the net on the other side, and the harvest was so great, the net began to break. Other fishermen had to come to get them to tow the stuff up to the shore. And Peter once again said, it's the Lord. You know, just throw your net off the other side. If what you're doing is not working and you're not catching anything, just try something different. Change the bait. Use a different plug, you know. Try on that side of the boat instead of this side of the boat and see what you catch. Remember I told you, sometimes you got to do some things different. You got to think different. If it's not working, don't do it. What's the definition of insanity? By believing that doing the same thing over and over will get you different results. One thing I know about the life is you keep doing the same thing, you're going to get the same results. So if it's not working, try something that's different. Peter had the joy of standing on the mountain, saw the glory of God. I think if you got to Peter, maybe you can ask him this question, you get there. Say, Peter, what was the greatest moment in your life when Jesus was around and serving him? Was it the walking on the water? You know, was it catching all the fish? What was it? I think he would say, that day, John and I went with him. And we were on that mountain. And his face changed before our eyes. And he looked like a strike of lightning. And we saw the prophets with him. Oh, I'm telling you, that's the greatest day up until the day I die. And then I got to see him face to face. Woo! And the Presbyterians are going to be shouting pretty soon. Holy moly! You experienced God's glory and majesty not when you were perfect, but when you are willing to follow him. You know what Jesus said over and over and over and over and over and over again? Come follow me. Why? Because where he's going is glory and majesty, and where you're going is dust and dirt. Follow me. Do it. Will you give up everything for Jesus? Well, it's not like giving up what you don't own anyway. Come on now. It's good preaching. I'm getting myself happy up here. By asking him, you experience him. By asking him, to show himself to you. Exodus 33. Let's go back. We said this before. Then Moses said, now show me your glory. It's presumptuous, asking God to show him his glory. The Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. Might not get exactly what you want, but that wasn't bad. Huh? Maybe he didn't get exactly what he wanted, but what he got wasn't bad. You remember my old story? I haven't told a story in a long time, so I'm going to go ahead and tell it now. Some of you with good memories will remember it. Most of you won't remember it. It was a story about the rooster in the hen yard, in the chicken yard. And the rooster, every night, wanted to roost in the tree. I guess he thought he was safe from the foxes. I don't know why, but that's what he did. And every night he'd back up to the far end of the chicken yard, and he would scratch, crow, make noise, fluff his big old wings, and just go running across in a cloud of dust all the way to the tree where he wanted to roost, and he'd jump up on that tree limb, which was laying right on the ground. And every day, every evening, all the chickens and all the other roosters had to put up with this old rooster. And finally, one of them said to him, why do you do that every night? You're driving us crazy. Why don't you just go over there and jump on the stupid thing anyway? And the old rooster said, boys, I wasn't aiming for that one. I was aiming for that one, but that's just as high as I got. You know, maybe you ought to be aiming a little high. Maybe you won't reach the top, but maybe you'll get a nice limb. I mean, Moses didn't do bad. He wanted to see the glory of God, but he got to see some of it. Enough so he had to put a veil over his face. Enough so that everybody noticed it. Let me ask you this question. Does anybody know you've been with God? Is there anything in your life that shows that you've been with God, that you know God? What makes you different from everybody else walking around on this planet? How do we know you're not a terrorist? You know, how do we know you're not some evil, demonic thing sitting in the church? How do we know that? Is there anything about you that lets us know you've been with God? Good question, isn't it? Somebody ought to know. They ought to be able to look at your face and say, that person's been with God. Don't you run into people all the time in your life? You know they've been with God? You just know it? Is there something inside of you witnesses that they've been with God? I had a guy one time that I worked with, and I used to try to share the Lord with him, and it was fruitless. It was absolutely fruitless. And he lived in Slidell, as I did, and we traveled to New Orleans to work. He was a womanizer. He was a dirty mouth. Cuss like a sailor. Forgive me, you sailors. They didn't cuss in the army, did they, George?
No,
I didn't think so. All right, yeah. I didn't think so. Just the sailors, right? Thought they'd get away with it out of them boats and nobody would hear them. Yeah. And one day his car had broken down. He had to leave it in the shop in New Orleans, and he asked me if I'd give him a ride home. So I said, I'd be glad to give you a ride. So we climbed up on the twin spans, and I'm working, trying to get to the place where I can. I got him captured. He can't get away from me. So, and I said, you know, you ever think about Jesus and, you know, invite Christ in your life? He said, oh, yeah. He said, I'm a born-again believer. And I was almost ran off the side of the bridge. And I looked at him and said, you are? I mean, I must have said it a terrible way because that's what I thought. I don't know how I said it. He said, oh, yeah, I go to, he named the church that he went to in town. And I said, oh, I said, kind of surprised me. I didn't, just listening to you, I just didn't get the idea that you were a church guy. He said, oh, yeah, man, I've been going to church since I was a kid. The conversation didn't go very far, but I'm just telling you that there wasn't any reason to believe this guy knew God from a post hole. You know, I just wouldn't have believed it. I mean, that there ought to be something different about you. Joe Cole, who was a jeweler here in this town, who's my cousin, married to my cousin. We went down to spend some money there. He used to give us a good price. I think he raised the prices until we got there, and then he lowered them when we got there. I'm not sure. And, you don't have it on. No, I was talking about your bracelet. No, so he's got a little bracelet that Joe had in, I think it was in the store. Did he make it for you?
No.
It was in the store. And it's pretty. It's got little diamonds on it. And Pat said, where would I wear that? And he said, wherever you want to. Did you walk a little taller? You feel a little better just wearing it? And she said, okay. So we bought it. And she wears it. I'm surprised she didn't have it on. She got it on almost every day. Just wears it all the time. Just enjoys it. You know, when you get around Jesus, you just walk a little taller, wear him a little bit more, let him shine and radiate through you. You don't have to be a holier-than-thou. You just have to be around the holier-than-thou and let him radiate through your life. You'll walk a little different and you'll talk a little different. I knew it was something like that. See, a lot of what I say up here, I've never even thought about saying until I get here. So I got notes, but I don't even know where they are anymore. So there you go. So Moses climbed on a mountain and he asked to see God. Jesus encouraged us to ask. He said, ask and you will receive. Knock and it will be open to you. Have you been asking? Now, I'm not talking about asking, God, give me a raise in pay. God, give me, let me feel better. God, I'm talking about if you ever asked to see more of God. If you ever just asked that question. Yes. God, I want to see you. I want to experience you. I want to see what other people have been talking about. you may be amazed at what you'll see. I walked out of my into my garage several years ago. Been parking both my cars in that garage since we got the house. We had some turmoil going on in some areas, and not necessarily in church. I don't remember what it was anymore. I forgot what the problem was, but I was not feeling all that good. I opened the door to my garage, and I opened it. And I showed you a video of it because it was so amazing. It took a video of it. There was red and white bright lights filling my garage. They were on the ceiling. They were on the wall. They were on the floor. They were on the car. And I thought, what the heck's going on here? And so I went back inside. I closed the door, and I opened it, came back again, and it was still there. And I just heard the voice of God speak to me and said, I just wanted you to know I was here. And I went and got Pat. I said, Pat, come see it. She saw it with our own little eyes. Now, the skeptic in me said, there's something going on here that I don't know about. And I thought, red and white. And I looked at the car, said, red taillights. The sun must be beaming in because we got windows in the garage door. Must be beaming in and lighting up this room like this. Well, maybe, but I don't never done it before. And when I went outside, the sky was as cloudy as it could be. There wasn't a sunbeam anywhere. But the inside of my garage was lit up. Now, I didn't ask for that. But I ask for it now, and every once in a while. And when I least expect it, I'll go on my garage. And it doesn't matter whether the sun's shining or not. I'll see those red and white lights somehow. One day, I don't have it now, but I'll show it to you one day just to let you see it. Just to remind. Why did I need to have that? Yes, I needed it. I need it all the time. I'm a needy person. I got a weak memory. I forget. So I like fresh things happening. I like manna every day. Well, you know, Morris, God just loves you more than me because you're a preacher and, you know, you're a better man than me and you never do anything wrong and, you know, you're a holy man. I've been referred to as a holy man. I've been referred to as a reverend, a pastor. Well, surely God deserves me. You know, and surely God would bless me more than he'd bless you. As long as you believe that, you will not see the glory and majesty of God. But when you start seeing yourself the way God sees you, when you start seeing yourself as the redeemed of the Lord, when you start seeing yourself as a spiritual being, when you start believing who you are in Christ, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that there's no stain of sin, there's nothing separating you from the love of God, that you are under no condemnation, when you start seeing yourself that way, beloved, maybe you'll say, maybe I could see God. Maybe I could hear his voice. Maybe God would give me some green and red lights, or white and purple lights, or maybe he would do something I never imagined. Maybe God would just do that for me because I want him to. You have not because you ask not. And when you do ask, you ask in a mist that you might have these things to fulfill the lust of the flesh. No, beloved, I'm talking about God going to God and saying, God, let me see your glory. Let me see you. Let me hear you. If you did it for Moses, why not for me? I'm better than Moses. Moses wasn't even under the blood of the Lamb. I'm under the blood of the Lamb. He was under the old covenant. I'm under the new covenant. Surely if you could do it for Moses and Elijah and all those other guys, you could do it for me. And the Lord says, can't argue with that. Maybe we'll show you something. But it's got to be the desires of your heart. Jesus said, ask in my name. Just ask in my name. I think that's a request that God won't refuse you. If you want to know God better, you want to see him. I'm not talking about being more saved. I'm just talking about experiencing God here in this planet Earth. Do you need to see the glory and majesty of God? Let me ask you a couple of questions. You ever been on a cruise? Don't raise your hand, Pepley. You know, you ever been on a cruise? You know what everybody who goes on a cruise does? It may be an exception, but I don't know anybody. The ship gets underway, starts puttering out in there. You know where everybody goes? On deck. If you're rich, you can have your own balcony. Poor people like me can't afford a balcony. We go on the deck and see. What? We want to see the ocean. We want to see what's going on. We want to see what's out there. I mean, that's part of the fun of going and seeing what's out there. You know what's out there? A lot of water. Plenty of water. The neat thing is for us Lake Pontchartrain people who've never been away from Lake Pontchartrain, not all the water in the earth is dirty and muddy. You get out there, you see beautiful blue water, the cresting of deep waves billowing out in the ocean. I mean, that's what you do. What kind of person would you be who spend money to go on a ship and wouldn't go out on a deck and look at the water? If you wanted to do that, save yourself a lot of money. Go rent a hotel room. A little one. Don't get a big suite because there's nothing big on a ship except the ship itself. Can you imagine, and some of you probably have done this, can you imagine getting on a plane, getting up 30, 35, 40,000 feet in the air and not looking out the window? Some of you are scared to look out the window. You're not any safer whether you look out the window or don't look out the window. So just as well look out the window and see what's out there. It's amazing to see the earth spinning underneath a big silver plane kept up there by God knows what. And you can look out and say, wow, purple mountains majesty, waves of grain, the plains of the United States being broken by the sudden appearance of the great Rocky Mountains spilling up skyward in the western part of our nation. And seeing that, seeing the white peaks, seeing all the glory that you can see from aboard a plane, flying by a mountain range. Go to Alaska and fly by Mount Denali, the tallest mountain on the north, this continent, this part of the world. I mean, just seeing it, why would you not look? Or go to a mountain range and not try to climb something. I've never been to the mountains. I didn't try to climb something. Just get a little higher. Just see a little bit more. I wonder what it looks like from up there. You just do it. Well, you ought to be that way spiritually. You ought to want to see the glory of God. Whether it's in a mountain, whether it's in an ocean, whether it's from a plane, but get in a spiritual plane. You won't be any less in the kingdom of God if you never look and you never see and you never hear. You won't be any less. But let me ask you this question. I'm going to close with this question. Why wouldn't you want to see more? Why wouldn't you? I think that's a healthy thing to do. Ask God for more. A guy by the name of Tinney. I think his name is Robert Tinney. Is that right? What is it? Tommy Tinney wrote a book called The God Chasers. Now, I don't agree with all that Tommy said, but I agree with this with Tommy. Tommy said, you ought to be looking for God, chasing after Him. Much of what's wrong in your life, in my life, and what's wrong in the church's life, and what's wrong in America, has got nothing to do with the political economy, but it's got everything to do with us being satisfied with status quo. Was it last week? Week before last, brought you that sermon about. Maybe it was an article I wrote. I don't remember what I do. So many things I can't remember what I do, where I do it. But about, instead of making America great again, why don't make you great again? Why don't you? Why don't you restore to me, O God, the joy of my salvation? What David cried out for. Let me have some joy about it. Let me have some fun again. Make me young again in the spirit that I might enjoy your presence. Give me joy unspeakable and filled with glory. And when you do, it says that the joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen? Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We worship you. Lord, don't deny us, Lord. But let us hear your voice. Let us see you. Let us experience you. Lord, let us put aside the things that have gotten in the way. Let us knock down those walls that have robbed us of your divine presence. And Lord, we ask you to open the windows of heaven, pour out your glory and your splendor and your majesty in our lives. We love you, Lord. We thank you. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. And all the children said, Amen. Amen. Amen.